A copy of the scriptures with you, then please turn with me to the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The book of the prophet Ezekiel. And we're going to read from chapter 34. Chapter 34 of the book of this prophet. And we are going to read from verse 20 of chapter 34 of Ezekiel. And we're going to read down to verse 31. So Ezekiel chapter 34, reading from the verse 20. And down to verse 31. Therefore thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because ye have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his own infallible word. Of the prophet Ezekiel in the chapter 34. And I've entitled this sermon, Showers of Blessing. Showers of Blessing. And my text is the verse 26. Verse 26 of Ezekiel chapter 34. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season, there shall be showers of blessing. Now in the verses before us, in the verses that we have read earlier in the meeting, the Lord is speaking of and speaking to his own people. Verse 30, thus shall they know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. He is speaking of his own people. And this people, his people, the Lord's people, he likens them to his flock. In verse 31, and ye my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Now the illustration of the Lord's people as a flock is a very apt one. For as the flock are vulnerable, as the flock at times are in danger, and likely to be made a prey, and therefore need someone to watch over them, someone to act as a shepherd on their behalf, the Lord's people also, God's people are a flock that have been delivered out of the hands of their enemies. That is what is stated in verse 22. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. The Lord Jesus Christ has saved us, and we are no longer a prey to the devil and sin. He has saved his flock by laying down his life for his flock. And this one who acts towards us, the part of the Saviour, is also the one who shepherds us, shepherds his own people, shepherds the flock of God. And verse 23 makes this very, very plain. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Now as the shepherd, and we're speaking of the shepherd in Bible times, as the shepherd leads and feeds his flock, so the Lord Jesus, the Son of David, the greater David, leads his people home. And as he is leading them home, he feeds them as they journey to the heavenly fold. And so it is as we make our pilgrimage to glory. It is as we follow the good shepherd to the fold that we are promised the blessing of God. So you see, it is to the Lord's people, it is to the flock of God, that the promise of blessing is made in the text which is before us. Verse 26, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Now in this text, God explicitly promises to bless his people in a very significant way. He promises to bless them in an abundant fashion. He joyously declares here, there shall be showers of blessing. That's a promise from God. And thus, as we make our way through this world, and all of us here are doing that, and if we are believers, we are making our way through this world to heaven above.
we may endure seasons of spiritual drought. We may know times when our soul is dry and it is parched. But these seasons of drought, these times of spiritual defeat, cannot and will not last. They cannot and they will not last because the Lord promises there shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. And thus when we look at this in that context, this is a tremendously encouraging and certainly very important text for the child of God to give attention to. Well, from this text, let us observe, first of all, the very important truth that it is the Lord's will that his people be a blessed people. It is important to not only understand that, but be really convinced of that. It is the Lord's will that his people, above all other peoples upon the earth, his people, his flock, be a blessed people, a blessed flock. When we speak of the blessing of God, when we speak of a people who are blessed by God, we are speaking of a people who enjoy the favor of God, a people upon whom God, as it were, is smiling, a people upon whom he can cause the showers of blessing to fall. That is what we're speaking of. Now, for this purpose, God saved his people. For this purpose, God saved his people. God saved you in order that he might bless you. That's why he saved you. You see, he found you in the position where you were under the curse of the law. He found you in a position where you had broken his law and made yourself subject to the curse of the law. The curse of the law is simply, it is simply rejection by God, exclusion from his favor. That's what it is. Now, a curse is the opposite of blessing. The curse is the opposite of blessing. And in order to bless you, the curse had to be removed from you. And that meant he had to save you. And that is precisely what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Galatians chapter 3 and the verse 13. So Christ redeemed us. Christ saved us from the curse of the law by being cursed himself, by being rejected and forsaken of the Father at Calvary, so that we could be blessed. So that we could be blessed. God saved his people with the purpose of blessing his people. And bless them he certainly does. The scripture declares that he blesses his people in their union with Jesus Christ. The scripture declares, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Now all the blessings of God, all of them, are mediated to us through Jesus Christ. We enjoy God's favor. We enjoy and experience God's blessing in union with our beloved Savior. So clearly from what we are saying here, it is the Lord's will that his people be a blessed people. And that truth is very much there upon the surface in our text. God says, I will cause the shower to come down in his season. It is his will to do this thing. It is his will to bless his people. Now, this blessing of God is essential to spiritual life. It is essential to spiritual life. The life of the newborn child of God grows, develops, and flourishes as it is blessed by God. If the blessing is withheld, if there is a withdrawal of divine favor, then growth is stunted. Spiritual growth is stunted. So I say to you, look, the blessing of God is essential to spiritual life. It is a most needful thing. And in Ezekiel 34, verse 26, that truth is there. That truth is there. Now notice carefully, the blessing of God is likened to the rain. The illustration here is that of rain. I will cause the shower to come down in the season. There shall be showers of blessing. Now in the Bible lands, great value was placed upon the rain. Great value was placed upon it. In a dry and dusty environment, where droughts are not uncommon, and the dreadful consequences of droughts, harvest failing and famine and so on, the rain was looked for. The rain was treasured. The rain was valued. It was understood. This is a most needful thing. People look to the heavens. People look to see the rains falling from above. The water and in the water life coming upon the parched ground. Water falling from the heavens was deemed to be essential to the prospering of life. And when the rain did fall, when God caused the shower to come down in its season, life was good. It was pleasant and it was prosperous. So rain, water was essential to life. Likewise, the blessing of God. Likewise, the blessing of God. It is needful to the spiritual life and development and progress of every Christian. If God should cause the shower of His blessing to fall upon your soul this Sabbath day, would you not be the better for it? If the Holy Spirit was to shed abroad in your heart the love of Christ, would you not know your own spirit revived? Well, of course you would. And you would bless God for it. But if, on the other hand, the Lord were to close the windows of heaven, that no blessing should fall upon you, how long would it be before your soul would be dried out? How far along the narrow road would you travel before sinking down upon your knees in spiritual defeat? The blessing of God is needful to spiritual life. It is like the water. It is like the rain falling from the heavens. And as the blessing of God is deliberately designed to foster our spiritual growth, it is so needful and it's designed to foster our spiritual growth. The blessings themselves are chiefly spiritual or heavenly in character. They do have this heavenly stamp upon them. Now certainly, it is true that God may, as we judge it, bless in other areas of life. But even then, His interventions or providential care are for spiritual ends. There may be temporal means used, but it's really always for spiritual ends. So I say the blessing of God is chiefly heavenly in its character. And in our text, when we look at it, the blessing of God comes down. The blessing of God comes down. I will cause the shower to come down. It comes down. It falls from above. The blessing originates in heaven. Its source is above, and from heaven it falls upon us. And as it originates in heaven, and as it falls from heaven, we may deduce that it is willed by heaven.
And indeed, that is what the scriptures teach. That most wonderful of Psalms, Psalm 133, speaks of the Lord who, quote, commanded the blessing. What a wonderful way of describing it. What a wonderful view of the Lord upon the throne. The Lord in a position to command. The Lord in a position to have his will done. And our Lord there upon the throne, with his own people upon his heart, commands, orders, wills the blessing of God to fall upon his children. The blessing then that originates in heaven, that falls from heaven, and is willed by heaven. It is natural, isn't it then, that it savors of heaven. It savors of God. It savors of Christ. It savors of heavenly and spiritual things. It bears not an earthly, but a heavenly character. It carries the aroma and the atmosphere of heaven with it. Now those of you, and we'll assume there may be one or two here, but those of you who are chocolate lovers will know that the chocolate that bears the name of Cadbury's and the chocolate that is produced by the rival company Nestle, they each have their own distinctive flavour and brand about it. And those of you who enjoy the blessing of God will know that the blessing which bears the name of Christ upon it has all the hallmarks of being produced in heaven. It is a taste of heaven when the blessing of God falls. It is distinctively heaven. It is distinctively spiritual. It is designed to foster our spiritual growth. Such is the blessing of God. Such is the blessing of God. And therefore we are glad. We are glad when we look into a text like this. We are glad to discover that God likens the falling of his blessing upon his children to the shower coming down in his season. We are glad to discover that the Lord says concerning the blessing, I will cause the shower to come down in his season. Solomon wrote that to everything there is a season. And that is true of the blessings of God. The blessings have their season. And each of the blessings, and they are distinctive and they are varied, each of the blessings have their season. They have their season, and they fall upon us in their season. And as they are seasonable, they may be expected and depended to come in their season. In the ever-changing scenes and seasons of life, the blessings of God which are particular and adapted to those changing scenes and seasons of life, those blessings may be anticipated, expected, prayed for, and enjoyed. God's blessings come in their season. They come in their season. And when they do come, they are not few. They are not limited in their variety. They are of every type. They are showers of blessing. They are showers of blessing. So I say again, it is the Lord's will that his people be a blessed people. It is God's will for your life that you enjoy his favor.
He does intend that you live in the conscious enjoyment and experience of the victory of Christ. That you overcome sin and temptation more and more. That your pathway through this world, while it may be easier or harder, is nonetheless travelled with the Saviour at your side, leading your home and feeding your soul as you go. This is what God is saying. I will cause the shower to come down in a season. There shall be showers of blessing. It is the Lord's will for you that you enjoy His favor, that you experience and enjoy His blessing. Oh, that every Christian would know that. Oh, that every Christian would prove that truth day by day in their own life. It seems to me at this present hour that for some, Christianity is more of a case of barely hanging on. Barely hanging on to their faith, and not much more than that. There's little of this going on. Oh, that every Christian would know that God would have us to be blessed, to enjoy His favor, to know the nearness of His presence, to experience the reality of His power, to enjoy the blessings that come in their season, to experience the showers of blessing falling upon our lives. So it is the Lord's will that His people be a blessed people. And not only does our text reveal that glorious truth, but we also learn from the verse that secondly, this blessed people of God are made a blessing to others. This blessed people of God are made a blessing to others. Of the blessed people of God, the Lord says in this text, and I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. Of the blessed people of God, the Lord says, notice it carefully, I will make them a blessing. I will make them a blessing. Those of God's people who enjoy the Lord's blessing upon their lives are made a blessing to others. Those, if you like, who live in the sunshine of God's favor, they reflect those healing and life-giving rays upon others. And this is a most glorious truth and a most needful thing for us to understand. Those whom God blesses, they are made a blessing to the ungodly in that they lead the non-Christian to Christ. They are made a blessing to the backslider in that they lead the backslider back to Jesus Christ. They are made a blessing to their fellow Christians in that they lead their brethren and sisters on to know more of Christ. Those who themselves are blessed in their own souls by God are made a blessing to others. I will make them, the Lord says, I will make them a blessing. I suppose it's very similar to what the Lord Jesus said to the disciples. I will make you fishers of men. They would first be blessed by Him in their own soul. And He would make them who had been blessed by Him a blessing to others. He would make them fishers of men. And so I say to those of you here who would desire to be used of God to bless others, who would have an earnest and sincere burden to be used as an instrument in God's hand to the salvation of souls, to the restoration of backsliders, to the edification of God's people, learn the simple lesson. To be a blessing, you must live in the blessing. You must. to communicate God's favor, you must first live day by day in a way which enjoys God's favor. That's the simple but most blessed and needful truth that we find here in this verse 26. Now, such a Christian was Robert McShane. He is one of the better hymn writers that you will find in our hymn book. But more importantly, he was a godly man who lived a Christ-honoring life. And God not only blessed him in his own soul, but he certainly made him a blessing to others. He is an illustration of this text. And it's wonderful that we have excerpts, at least, of his diary. And it's wonderful to read on the Sabbath morning of the 23rd of February, 1834, that he writes in his diary of that day, and he writes this, quote, "Rose early to seek God, and found him whom my soul loveth. Who would not rise early to meet such company? The rains are over and gone. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." That's a simple enough statement. But on that Sabbath morning, it is quite clear from the little that he records, and remember he was recording it for his own use and good, it is quite clear that the Lord caused the shower to come down in the season upon McShane's soul. On that day, God blessed that man's soul. How wonderful it is then to read, just a few days later, that was February 23rd, February 26th, in the same diary McShane records with thankfulness, but also, I think, with astonishment, that for the first time in his life, God had used him to save a soul. Now, the pattern is there. It's unmistakable. It cannot be missed. God blessed him in his own soul and then made him a blessing to others. And that is the way with the Lord. The blessed people of God are made a blessing to others. They become an influence for good and for the cause of Christ. And the places round about, as the text puts it, the places round about feel the benefit. A church that God blesses, a people that God favours, in God's will and in the measure God determines, they will be made a blessing to others. God is true to his word. God will make them a blessing. God will honour his word. The places round about will feel the beneficial influences. What a tremendous encouragement. What a tremendous encouragement to all of the people of God. May God make this church a place where his blessing falls. May he cause this shower to come down in its season in this place. May there be a throwing open of the windows of heaven. May the showers of blessing fall. And as those who are blessed by him go forth, may they be a blessing to others. May the Lord make us all a blessing to others in our day and generation, and may he do it for his own name's sake. Amen.